I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I was recording that.
Damn.
I hate myself so much.
Why?
I just don't like... I feel like I haven't been in the groove for the last, like, 80 episodes.
Yeah.
You know, I like... There was that, I am disappointed in myself.
If anybody could find the one episode where Andy was in the groove and clip it and send it to us, well, that would be great.
I, you know, for a person with no musical ability, I felt like I was quite promising for a couple of episodes back there. You know, I was like, oh, this guy's doing something interesting in a way that's almost like outsider art. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't satisfy me in any of the ways that music should, but I'm I'm still intrigued.
Yeah. Well, you know? I think that's probably also what I am. I don't have any musical anything. I'm just doing it very confidently, but also maybe just hitting a rhythm a little bit more.
You keep telling me, Alistair, hitting a rhythm's part of it, but I mean, when I get this and I sort out my new form of music that doesn't involve rhythm at all.
I just thought that music was, there was some form of organization to the sound, and I think that's the only thing that separates it from ambient noise.
Your music is like a library, right?
Yeah.
Whereas my music is more like a fire made out of burning books about libraries.
I like that, Andy.
Okay.
That's really good.
Alistair, Harry's bringing you this show today.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. They're bringing you this show like it's a special offer shaving pack that you get for free when you go to harrys.com/thinktank.
Well, what would be in this pack, say?
Well, I mean, I'll go into the exact details later on in the show, but for the time being, suffice to say, you got a weighted ergonomic handle. You got a 5-blade razor with a shave, you know, a special little shaving fine detail bit on the other side.
It's an extra razor
for getting up under your nose. In there. You get the soothing shaving cream, which I keep telling them they've got to make it edible because I want to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
You get your little travel case that Alistair, I know it's changed your life.
Absolutely.
And
I was one way and then I put my razor blade into a travel case, and then I was another way.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Right?
That's everything, what change sounds like.
You looked around, and everything was the same and yet somehow different, and you realized on that day, that was the day that you finally became a man with a travel case on his razor.
Yeah, that's right.
And Alistair, if you were to just guess a number, how much do you think that you would pay, or that all this would be worth? You know, all this stuff I've listed to you that you get in the Harry's special offer.
Look, Andy, I couldn't put a number on it since the value of it seems immeasurable.
Okay, well, if you were to compare it to, say, a moment from your life.
Yeah, okay. I suppose the time my dog was born. That was one of the most beautiful moments in my life. I was there. I was present for the birth.
For the birth.
Yeah. We had bought it off the plan.
The blueprints.
The blueprints, yeah.
We called him Blue.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, it's $13 worth of stuff that you get for nothing. So,
wow.
Anyway, harrys.com/thinktank. I'll tell you more about it later on in the program.
Okay, great. I'm looking forward to it.
Before the show, Alistair,
we
were talking about a sketch.
Sure. Hello, everybody. This is Two in the Think Tank, the podcast where we come up with 5 sketch ideas.
Yeah, before the show, we were talking about a sketch. Everything is wrong this episode. We did the music before the ad.
Yeah. I like that, Andy.
The music wasn't music.
I think that's going to get us into a different rhythm today, which is going to lead to some great creative things.
We did the soul-crushing introspection before we'd come up with any sketch ideas.
Yeah, and we're about to bring in an outside idea as our first sketch idea.
It's topsy-turvy. Anyway, outside sketch idea, it's you mentioned smoggles that are like goggles but allow you to smell underwater.
That's right. So they're just they're a single, like a monocle goggle for your nose.
Wait, they're not binoggle? Like they're not binary? There's not two?
Oh, I suppose
one
they
for
could,
each nostril,
I
right?
guess I just pictured it going over the whole nose.
Oh, sure, but you want to be able to smell how far away something is as well as...
Oh, yeah, but I think, man, the fact that it covers your whole nose doesn't preclude it from being able to judge distance with your nose. It's just that... I feel that when you're introducing a new product, you got to allow for there to be future improvements on that product, like removing the whole nasal sort of triangle casing.
Yes.
And then eventually just so that you just have essentially two nose plugs, nostril plugs.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're going to go maybe three generations.
Yeah. So we want to be able to continue to upsell new iterations as more and more people come back for... the smoggle experience.
Yeah, that's right.
But then the other one that made me laugh even more was for eating underwater.
That's right. It's the mouth goggle.
Yeah.
Or the moggle.
The moggle.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And
the color noggle.
The idea is that it would kind of look a bit like a sort of a horse feed bag. Maybe it's like somewhere between a horse feed bag and that thing that Homer puts his hands through so he can handle the uranium or the plutonium or whatever the spent nuclear
rods. I'm saying almost to go with another Simpsons thing, like the aliens, what are they called? Kane or whatever they're called?
Kodos. Krang.
Right? The thing that they have their entire heads in.
Yeah.
Which is like a kind of a big, looks like it's got a rubber ring around the bottom, big glass thing.
Yeah.
Just that, but just for over your mouth.
Yeah, it probably goes over your chin as well, so you can just get that nice seal around the whole area.
Yeah,
you can move your jaw.
You can still chew, right?
Yeah.
And then we also have in the sides, that's where we've got the Homer Simpson style
hands,
rubberized things, but they're not hands. You've got a knife and a fork, right?
Yeah,
and then you can just put whatever you want into the glass trough.
Yeah.
Your noodles.
Yeah, plate of spaghetti.
Your focaccias.
Yeah. Sort of nachos.
Nachos.
And I think...
Do you think that whatever it is in a bowl that's on a kind of a gimbal so that you can...
What's a gimbal?
A gimbal is like... Or like a gyroscopic thing so that whichever way you're facing, it always remains horizontal.
I think that would be really nice.
That's really exciting. Yeah. You can eat like in almost any orientation.
Absolutely, yeah. And so you think about that, you can go caving, underwater caving. You could be eating there. I think this would be perfect for sort of those, those like travel tours where it's a whirlwind tour of Europe. You're doing 12 days and you're visiting Europe.
You're cramming it in.
You're cramming it in. You're somewhere in Greece near one of the islands, right?
Yeah. I think Mykonos.
Mykonos.
Is that
there
an
you
island?
Go. It's beautiful, like bright blue water.
The Mediterranean Sea.
The Mediterranean Sea. You're floating. You're up high. You got salt, playing into the buoyancy of your body.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're and you've got a huge gyro that you're eating with a knife and fork.
Yes.
Like that.
And it's on a gyroscope.
And because you don't have time to both go to a gyro stand and get that full experience and to go snorkeling or scuba diving or whatever.
It's all in there together.
It's all in there together. You've got, obviously.
Can we call it forkling?
I think so. Yeah, I think
sporkling.
Sporkling, great. Because I think that's that.
Yeah, you've got sporks. You've got a couple of sporks.
It's a couple of sporks.
There.
The ones with the blade on the side
blade
as
on
well.
The side, exactly.
And so it's two. Yeah, that way it accounts for left and right handed people as well.
Because, beautiful.
Because if you were to do fork and knife, then these left handed people would be. Discriminated against.
And that goes against everything that the sporkling tour of Europe represents.
That's right. And it's just nice that you don't have to stop eating anymore.
Yes.
You know?
We can graze. And in that way, we'll be a lot like a dugong or a manatee who look like they have a wonderful existence there under the water, slowly paddling between the seagrass. But
that's right.
Obviously we can't breathe or eat underwater normally, but we can do that. But now you'll be eating bolognese.
Yeah. Bolognese, yeah.
Bolognese.
Bolognese. I guess those creatures aren't that dissimilar from a man with eternal life floating through space.
Yes.
You know, until he reaches another planetary system, you know, just waiting. But that plus seagrass.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of planetary systems.
Yeah. I mean, but no, but they're just like they're life. I mean, I guess for them, the planetary systems are life experiences.
Oh, okay. You know? So the commonality is really is the floating.
The floating, yeah. Just the, I mean, just the not doing much, you know, the not doing much and kind of just.
I think they're slowly becoming extinct or something like that, you know, probably.
Well, I mean, they're not doing much to stop it, are they?
Yeah.
We didn't discuss this earlier when we were talking about the smoggle or the sporkling new product, but the idea of maybe making one for the military that would work both sort of let's say your battalion gets hit with mustard gas.
Yes.
Right?
It's a gas mask.
It's a gas mask, but while you're, you know, barely surviving through it, why not live a little? You know, inside there is we could get a guest chef to design meals for this experience. So even if let's say the skin that is exposed to the gas is burning and things like that.
Bubbling away.
The other thing that's burning is that beautiful creme brulee.
Yes.
You know?
Is the crust on that.
Like that, and you crack it. And
crack it with your spork.
Yeah, with your spork. You're having a good time.
Well, I mean, gas masks, what do? They protect you from a toxic outside atmosphere, and they allow you to stay alive.
Yeah.
But I would say that they don't allow you to truly live.
Yeah, or thrive.
To thrive, indeed. So I want a mask that's big enough to incorporate an entire experience that gives you a quality of life that, you know, maybe even greater than what you had before. And this isn't just for the military anymore, Alistair.
No.
This is for the dystopia we're all going to be living in
the
future, where the atmosphere is toxic. And we see this depicted in popular media, and we're supposed to think, oh, look at those poor children trudging to school in their gas masks because of what we did to the planet.
Yeah.
But if that gas mask was just a bit bigger, a bit roomier, enough to incorporate a small... It's a rumpus room.
It's absolutely. It's a
it's
whole...
It's a rumpus mask.
Absolutely. There's a billiards table in there. You know, like in some form.
In some form with little levers.
You know what?
You could probably play billiards with a spork. Why doesn't the spork, as well as having the fork bits,
the knife
on the side, on the back end, because you can't turn it around because it's to get it into the thing.
Well, but I feel like that's a thing that they could somehow work in.
One of the tines of the fork
just
has one of those little pads on the end and it's
nice.
Chalked up.
Yeah,
so you can also be playing billiards.
So it just sticks up above the others and prevents you from really piercing.
Makes all your food a bit chalky.
Now, while we're talking about
luxury
beyond our wildest dreams that one day will seem crazy that anybody lived without.
I reckon in there also there's a little couch for your chin.
Oh, that'd be nice. Sort of like the one on a violin.
Yeah.
It's nice that they get that. I don't know why they don't make those sort of
for everybody.
Yeah.
Why do you have to have it? Why is this only violinists who get this experience?
Where
all the rest of us supporting our heads.
What about a suit? Right, that while you're wearing it, sort of it could just look like one of these like bomb detonator suit, like you know, anti-detonator or diffuser or whatever they do. Do they detonate the bombs? Is that what they're going to put on a suit to go detonate the bomb? Anyway,
it's nice they're dressing up.
What about a water slide suit?
You
know, so you're in the suit,
yes,
and there's just water rushing down your back like that, and there's something in there that I think maybe affects your adrenaline and makes you feel like you're falling.
We've got vertigo. We've already got vertigo. That's some sort of inner ear condition.
That's happened years ago.
Years ago. And what have we done with this technology? Nothing.
Nothing. So it's essentially the water slide is, so it's on your back, but the water that's really moving is the one in your ear.
Yeah.
It's essentially, you've just got like a little, you know that little ball inside a Guinness can, the widget or whatever they call it?
Yeah, they call it a widget.
Yeah, and so they put it in there and it does something to the flow of the liquid so that, you know, anyway, it's essentially a little ball like that that you just put inside the ear where the liquid is that helps with your balance. like that, and it just moves your water around in the right way. It's essentially like, it's closer to like a paddle steamer,
a little
paddle
turbine
thing.
Of some kind. Yeah, an in-ear water slide.
Yeah.
Why don't we have this?
Yeah, and like, you know, wet back, obviously. But I mean, you know, that water can just be recycled. As soon as it gets down to your ankles.
Yeah, you
it
pump can just that back up again.
Pump it back up. So that's just, you're one man water fountain.
It could even be pumped by your feet, you know, because you're just walking along, going about your business.
Yeah.
People don't realize. I think if this doesn't have to be a full body suit as well. No. This could be just done with a regular outfit.
Like a cape.
If we've got an inner ear thing. Exactly. If we've got an inner ear thing that just goes into your ear, that's hidden. That's like, they've got hearing aids for that now.
Yeah.
You know, that they can't be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's doing that part.
Yeah.
And then you've got little pumps in the bottom of soles of your feet. You've got pipes running up the inside of your trousers, squirting out into your collar.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's
and the
great.
Water's going around and around your. Everywhere you go, I'm in a water slide.
You know what would be?
I'm not really here.
I'm on the Gold Coast.
This is my virtual reality.
Queensland, Australia.
Yeah.
I'm at Wet n Wild right now.
I'm just falling right now.
Just experiencing.
I'm spinning out of control at any moment.
I'm just experiencing the constant pleasant feeling of falling.
Utter disorientation.
Screaming no longer has to be your just a sometimes state.
Absolutely. Screaming isn't just for those going through some sort of psychotic episode and newborn children.
Now, if you were to add to this, because I think it's these foot pedals that got me thinking.
Mm.
Foot pedals are also used in a one-man band scenario. You know, for getting the big drum going and things like that, right? Maybe a tambourine, maybe some knee tambourines, things like that.
Yeah.
Now, if that person was also just on the street doing a one-man band show, they'd be making money. So now they're getting paid to go water sliding.
I get paid to go water sliding, kids.
24 hours a day.
So is this guy at Careers Day? Kids, how would you like to get paid to go water sliding? And now maybe he's selling it as a franchise.
That's right.
He's invented this and he's selling it. He's like, fuck. Any time a franchise goes bust, Alistair, and it's always some fucking thing where, like, oh, we'll deliver homemade dog food to your workplace or something like that. And the families, are you see them on the news there and they're like, we sunk all our retirement savings into this franchise. We were told it was going to, you know, guarantee our income for the next 40 years. Yeah. You're like, for fuck's sake, no.
First of all, diversify.
Sure.
You know, look, second of all, franchises, come on.
No, don't buy whatever it is. The person asking for these thousands of dollars up front for the intellectual property for their dog-delivered, homemade, gourmet... Dog meat business. It makes me so...
Imagine
unhappy.
That. Dog meat delivered to you by a dog. It'd be so cute.
Yeah. Here you go.
Also, it's a talking dog.
And there's, like, it's not his meat, but he's wearing a sort of a coat that looks like dog, right? And there's a little compartment that you can crack open. It's like you're opening up his back, and in there is a little chiller, and there's just little slabs of dog meat.
Oh, it looks like you're opening up his hind leg and just grabbing a slab of meat.
But he's just wearing a slightly bigger kind of doggy exoskeleton.
That's a great idea.
Because a lot of, like, dogs that are a bit fat, older dogs, they get that kind of look where they look a bit more like a barrel.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah, they get a thick dog.
Yeah,
that thick could dog just be syndrome.
TDS. Yeah.
is this a sketch?
What, TDS?
Dog meat delivered door to door by dogs.
Yeah, I think it absolutely could be. And I think the thing is,
is this another franchise?
I think it's a franchise. And I think the thing is, it doesn't have to be dog.
Yeah.
You know? Like, the meat doesn't have to be dog.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. It could be anything. but it looks, it feels like you're eating dog delivered to you by the dog.
It's like Uber Eats, but for dog.
Yeah.
Dog meat. I like it to be dog meat.
Sure.
You know, I think, I don't, like, there's actually no laws, I think. Are there laws stopping us from selling dog meat here in Australia?
You know what? I reckon there probably are.
Because then what would be stopping us, right?
Nothing.
Because right? Then you would have a
but
dog.
But I think this is a, we've just found a perfect loophole in this law.
Yeah, right.
Right? Which is like, it's meat that you get out of a dog.
Mm.
It's just not dog meat.
Yeah, right. But it's called dog meat.
And it's called dog meat.
And people think they're buying dog meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're not.
No. But technically they are.
They are, absolutely.
Because it's meat from
that's
a dog.
That's our guarantee to you.
Yeah. You'll think you're eating dog meat until you taste it.
And then you'll be like, wait, this isn't dog.
This seems eerily similar to other meats I've tried. Oh,
that's
the big
the thing
five.
About dog meat. Big five. Let's go through them now. Llama.
Llama. Camel.
Alpaca.
Wren.
And giraffe.
And
Wren?
Capybara? Wren.
Wren. Wren?
Wren.
Wren?
Wren.
Mm.
Mm, Wren. With the guy who's at Careers Day.
Yeah.
So first we don't realize this, but at first we're watching a video that introduces the idea of the water slide suit,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? Because, I mean, there's got to be a starting point in this to explain this silly, silly idea, right?
Sure, Alistair. I mean, I like to drop the viewer into the middle of the action, you know? It's like Saving Private Ryan. You're on the beach.
Well, I know, but it can
just... What's going on?
It can just start like, everybody loves water sliding, like that, right? But yeah, what if you could water slide in the company of your own clothes, right?
I'm water sliding right now.
Yeah, and then it explains
the idea. I'm water sliding.
And then it's a pullback and reveal, and there's a guy standing, dressed in the in the outfit with a one-man band thing, standing next to a TV in front of a class of kids. And then he goes, so kids, this is what I do for a living every day. How would you like to get paid to go water sliding?
And so the kids sign up for the franchise, do they?
I mean, it seems immoral, and that's because it is.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what they do with the Dolomites, you know? That's that thing. They get the bank gets to go in, sign kids up for children's bank accounts.
Mm.
That's just a marketing scam.
It didn't really occur to me until more recently that banks are just another business.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they absolutely are.
Yeah. At the time, were they owned? Was that bank owned by the Commonwealth?
Yes.
Was it like a...
It was a government bank.
So I guess in that way, that's how they could sort of spin it. They could say, oh, your money's in with the government.
Yeah. Yeah. And what else would you... You'd give everything to the government. People
absolutely.
Have no problems giving their money to the government.
Just lay back. Lay back. And
I think we get to write down sporkling as well on that
list.
Yeah. You haven't written sporkling.
Oh, of course. I just forgot.
No, that's quite all right, Alistair.
I just...
It was such a flurry of creativity at the top of this episode.
Yeah. You know,
they're all various immersive experiences.
Absolutely. And it's just because...
Especially the dog meat one.
Life becomes so normal so quick. Mm. Even the most extreme of things. And there just needs to be people who are constantly looking for brand new extreme experiences. There's gaps in markets. You know, people are always looking, business people are always looking for gaps in markets.
Mm.
But there is some places that are gaps that are surrounded by miles and miles of gap that are so far from things that people normally do. Right?
Yeah.
That you're just plucking out like, you know, a sort of live being a crab experience, right? What would that be like to sort of live as a crab underwater for 3 years, right? Now that, there's nobody filling in anywhere near that opportunity, you know. And so there was
nobody's
that one guy.
Doing any of the underwater animal life experience.
That's right, for 3 years.
Things for 3 years.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there was the guy who lived as a goat for maybe 3 weeks or something like that and wrote a book about it, that journalist. And he wasn't really living as a goat.
Was
he had
he
some
eating
arm...
grass?
Maybe.
We got to look into this.
Yeah, we'll there was a whole book, so I feel like somewhere in there he would mention whether or not he was eating grass.
That's my first question. I think that's everybody's first question.
What would be that thing? Like, you know, let's say, because here's an experience I've never had, but I've seen crabs do.
Mm.
Have you ever been sporkling and seen a crab this?
Yeah, yeah. You occasionally I'll glimpse a crab over the top of my pancetta.
And this is exactly...
What's a pancetta?
I think it's
type of ham.
I think it's kind of closer to like a bacony kind of like cured meat.
Mm. Yeah, I just eat
probably pure pork based.
Pure pancetta.
Just eat a plate of sort of a pinky goldeny reddy kind of golden red. Mm. That's not a color.
Why is ham so slimy? Anyway, look, let's not.
It's not always slimy. Usually it's when it's starting to go bad, it gets slimy. It's
always so slimy. I mean,
there's a wetness to it, but you don't want it to be dry.
I think we just ate a lot of old ham growing
up. Yeah. And now you're a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I was just going to say that sporkling would be the perfect place to market the underwater crab experience. And I don't even think this is a sketch idea. I'm just saying the one thing you may have seen a crab do underwater is where they, you know, they have like a, you know, they've got the pincers.
Mm.
And I don't know if all crabs have this, but they have that like a kind of flipper. Kind of thing that like pushes them under the sand real quick and they can just disappear.
Right. I think maybe that's swimmer crabs have the flipper kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just having that kind of magician type trick.
Of just under the sand just, like that.
Yeah. There must be something like some trickery of the feet that kind of loosens up the sand underneath you at the same time. Because I don't think it could be all flipper.
You think there's some kind of trickery involved?
Well, I mean, like, as in, like, maybe the, you know, they've got six legs, do they? Maybe six or eight? Well,
eight, right. Yeah,
and so then they're probably...
But that includes the nippers, right? So they've got another six to play with.
Yeah, they've got six to play with, right? The nippers are up front. They keep their guard up because they're always watching you if you're snorkeling above them. They kind of keep... They don't let you get behind their back or whatever, but get behind their little googly eyes.
Especially if you're sporkling and they've got their eye on that pancetta.
Yeah, they're checking out that pancetta. And then I think the legs must kind of come in maybe and then loosen up the sand by sort of pushing it outwards.
Yeah,
make a little puff, little magician puff like that. Get that flipper. It's all downward force or, you know, force going upwards.
Yeah.
Pushing them down like that. And then the dust settles.
Dust settles.
Probably just their eyes poking out.
I don't think it takes much to cover a crab. No. You know, they've got that flat surface up there. They're probably already pretty sand-colored.
Yeah.
You know?
And I reckon that's, you know, that would be an experience that would be worth having.
Yeah, I mean, we could do it. We could arrange to do this on land in some way. And I think...
In a land aquarium?
Well... How do you picture a land aquarium? Like, I feel like we just have to set up the right kind of scenario. Like, I don't think we could do it with sand, but we could certainly do it with leaves or something like that. You know, dead leaves. Autumn.
Well, that wouldn't be a crab experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
I've never seen a crab. I mean, look, crabs may do that with leaves, but it's probably closer to one of those tree crabs.
No, you're right. I've taken it away from what was your very clear vision.
A very pure idea.
Yeah.
And just tried to humanize it, which is exactly what we're trying to get away from.
I feel like I had an idea earlier on. Did we mention magicians earlier on in the show for some reason?
Mentioned magicians just then.
Yeah, but did we mention them earlier still? Or possibly while we're... Or did I
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah. There was something to do with that hiding the coin, but... Wait, was this in this conversation? I think this was pre-pod. I was talking about when you work in a bottle shop and people steal and they're no good at stealing and you have to, and you see them and then you feel a moral obligation to say, hey, I saw you stealing something like that. And that you feel like helping those people so that you don't have to do that. And you go, hey, look, this is how you make watch this video, how you make a coin disappear.
Yeah.
And then, but just do that with a can of Woodstock.
Yeah. So is there something in a magician stealing or shoplifting?
Yeah. I think there absolutely is. They should be the best at it.
You would think. Mm. Yeah. Sleight of hand, you know.
Yeah.
It's I mean I don't know where we go with it exactly, but like maybe it's a real problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Sort of like I haven't seen this movie, but I think it's called Now You See Me. So sort of like a petty Now You See Me. Like a Now You See Me for petty crimes.
Alistair, you've absolutely turned that into something. Yeah. I'm really into it.
Yeah.
You know, it's the because I think they are magicians or illusionists or something in that show, and they're stealing from casinos, pulling big heists, probably.
That sounds like the kind of, it sounds like Ocean's 11, but with magicians.
Yeah, but with fedoras.
And fedoras, yeah.
And this is that, but with pathetic shoplifters stealing alcohol from a bottle shop.
Yeah, it's just up the sleeve, behind the ear. I don't know if they ever do hide anything behind the ear.
Misdirection.
Misdirection. Look over there.
Yeah.
They have a beautiful assistant come with them.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's the full show.
Yeah.
Yeah. They, like, I'm going to need... they make, like, do they come in and try and do it under the pretense if they're just doing a magic show in the shop? Like, I'm going to need a six-pack. Right, and then they make that disappear, or do they?
Yeah, I think, if anything, that would be a beautiful introduction to the character, right? And they kind of like they hide all six
beers in different
parts of you know, one's under their hat and things like that, right? But then what they're really building up to is, as a sort of poor magician, clearly he must be poor if he's stealing.
Yes. Only the poor commit crimes.
You read deeply into what I was saying. And I imagine in some part they're involved in more of the pettier crimes.
Blue-collar crime?
Blue-collar, I guess I'd say so. Or even unemployed crime.
T-shirt, collar.
But I think what they're building up to, these guys, is... they need to steal some tricks from a magic shop.
Great.
You know? Yeah? He needs new, one of those new wands that turns into a bouquet of flowers.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy needs some doves, right? Which they might not sell at a magic shop, I'm not sure.
I mean, it would be an amazing thing to pull off, wouldn't it? Boosting doves from...
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel like I've ground this into the dirt. Sorry.
I think I did with my trying to be funny with dealing with the accusation that poor people commit crimes.
No, that's fine. But I would like to talk about this, Alistair.
Yes.
The poor people committing crimes, right? Yeah. Because we can talk about, you know, such and such person going into a bottle shop, taking a couple of cans of Woodstock, as you say, or Jim Beam and Coke or whatever it is, off the shelf. And that's taking away from the public, right? That's taking away pre-mixed drinks that could have been drunk by you or I.
Sure.
Right? And that's the sort of crime that it's easy to see and get a hold on. But what about high-level fraud?
Yeah.
That means that those companies were never able to produce that Woodstock in the first place. You know, the white collar crimes, the embezzlers, the accountant, the dodgy accountant who shifts a whole lot of money out of that company into a personal account.
Yeah.
So they were never able to make, and it could be hundreds of thousands of bottles or cans of Woodstock that never even made it to the shelves.
Yeah. And you saying that that's a poor person doing that?
No, I'm saying that we think of stealing alcohol as being a thing for poor people. And yet, you know, it's the rich, it's the entitled white-collar people who actually probably steal much more alcohol in a roundabout fashion.
It's the kings and queens of nations who are...
Yes, the worst bottle-o thieves.
Yeah, who are, you know, who are taking the booze straight out of our kids' mouths.
Yes. Sorry, kids. No booze today. The queen drank it all, metaphorically speaking.
She made a buck or two.
She's drunk off her tits, so to speak.
You know, on power.
On power.
To take away your booze.
Yeah. Is that anything?
Look, yeah. I think
just casting those ideas of, you know, well...
Yeah.
the, you know, the, and also those kinds of crimes, the white collar crimes, mm-hmm. somebody will embezzle money or whatever. It doesn't matter how much they end up taking. They always sort of seem to get treated better and have lower sentences
yeah.
than people who will do some much more petty crime, but something that is, you know, associated with being poor.
Yeah, because I think in a way you kind of just respect them for being rich.
Mm, exactly.
You know, I mean, yeah. like, sure, you committed a crime, but, you know, I got to
respect. At least you were rich.
I mean, I got to respect that you were, you managed to get rich somehow.
Jury, before I send you away to deliberate, I'd like you to bear in mind that, yes, the information points to this person being guilty, but the information also suggests that they are rich. So,
well, I mean, I think a court case, I mean, this is, you know, this is, I think.
Classic think tank court case sketch.
Court case sketch, yeah. And I think that, I believe this is what it, like, my interpretation of it would be what we would call ham-fisted, where you go, you literally.
Pancetta?
Maybe pancetta fisted, you know? Sort of a turkey ham.
Yeah.
where essentially he's likening the crime that this white collar person did,
yeah,
to the stealing from a bottle shop,
yeah,
and then saying, however, you know, and then but you are rich and you got to respect that.
You got to give him a little, you know.
Yeah, is that not enough for a sketch?
I like the first bit of the idea of like the lawyer trying to make it relatable for the jury.
Yeah,
you know, so because sort of almost talking down to the jury, we couldn't expect the jury to understand.
Mm. Yeah, so this is like the prosecutor rather than the defense.
Could be the prosecutor trying to put the crime into terms that the jury would understand of like how many cans of Woodstock or something it could be. There's also an interesting thing of like a billionaire, a multi-billionaire being on trial for something and the idea of a jury of their peers
of
being all other billionaires in some way.
Yeah. I mean, and is this person being a billionaire being sort of in a court case for shoplifting?
I think, I don't know, Alistair. I've got a feeling that if they were in there for a crime that was like the embezzlement or the theft of billions of dollars in some totally abstract way or market manipulation or whatever it is, and it's just so far beyond the jury's ability to comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
And the attempts to make relatable the amounts of money involved to the jury could be, there could be a whole sketch in that. But
sure.
Don't know.
Should I put this down as?
You could write it down as a half idea or something if you want.
Halfy. All right, I'll put it down as a half.
While you're doing that, Alistair, this is great because, you know, what are we accusing these white collar criminals of? Shaving a little bit off the top.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what harrys.com/thinktank is going to allow you to do. You know, shave a little bit off the top. Or,
of your face.
As I like to call it, the front. But it is really the top of your face if you shave lying down, which I do with a mirror.
On your back.
On the back. I lie back on the ground.
Mm.
And because it's a little bit like that experience of being at the barbershop, which is really nice. That really, you know, that lie back, that straight edge razor experience. What I do is I lie down on the tiles of my bathroom. I blue tacked a mirror to the ceiling and I shave myself with my feet up against the sink. And it's just a little classier, a little bit of a treat for me.
Absolutely.
And that's just one of the things that you can do with your Harry's starter pack.
Mm.
If you go to harrys.com/thinktank, you'll get yourself $13 worth of value.
Yeah.
Right? For nothing. Don't even worry about it.
What?
All right? They're just going to give that to you. $13 starter pack. You've got your shaving thing with your five blades. What a shaving experience. Alistair, I shave with this.
Yeah.
And it's great and I feel good.
Absolutely.
Every single time, and I don't cut myself nearly as much as I do with my other crappy razors that I've used.
I'm going to start shaving other things.
Yes?
Yeah.
Great.
I think that this is such a smooth shave. I'd consider shaving any part of my body.
Any part.
Even eyeball. Parts that don't have hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Inside
of I the would cheek. Love to shave.
Lip.
Lips.
That's the thing. You think lips don't have hair, but then you'll shave them with the Harry's razor and you'll be like, oh, no, wait. That's a smooth lip.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are microscopic hairs all over that.
Mm.
And once you go there, there's no going back because it'll just feel like a forest to you.
Yeah.
Just, like if you let that hair grow again, once you've had a truly shaved lip. Yeah.
I'd love to shave all the taste buds off of my tongue. Get a truly smooth tongue.
Mm-hmm. I think, and start again.
Start again, you know, absolutely. Get all these dead layers off.
Yeah.
Sort of like an exfoliation of the tongue, mm-hmm. but not cutting off dead things. Cutting off things that maybe one day will be dead. That's how preemptive this attack is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like wiping out a new empire just to save them from the tragedy of
their decline and fall.
The decline of an empire.
Yeah. And that's what you do with Harry's razors on your tongue.
On my tongue.
That's what you'll do when you go home.
One day.
And
maybe.
You report back on that.
Yeah.
I think I've got two babies.
Yeah.
And I've started shaving them with Harry's razors.
That's great.
Because much like the lip, you know, babies aren't as smooth as you think.
Well, a lot of them, especially babies that are born premature, are still covered in a sort of a peach fuzz.
That's right.
You know, they haven't lost that kind of outer layer, like a deer's antler, which is another thing you can shave.
So the peach fuzz, is that another evolutionary relic? You know, that like from back in humans' evolution.
From our beastier years.
Beastier years, back when we were more peach than we were man.
Yeah.
We
when we were closer to the peach tree than we were to the...
Angels?
To the beasts.
The beasts, yes. Harry's razors, harrys.com/thinktank. Get yourself that amazing starter pack. All those things. You've got your handle, travel case. You've got your blades. Your thing with all your blades, your head, and you got your
travel pack.
Oh my goodness!
I mean, Andy says that the handle is weighted, but you know what? Every single one of the things that they send you has weight.
Has weight. Possesses weight. Sorry, I don't want to create the impression.
No. There are what's the particle that gives things weight?
Higgs bosons.
There are Higgs bosons. I mean, they throw the Higgs bosons in for free.
Yeah, the Higgs. Interacts with the particles in every... Not neutrinos are not one of the components of the manufacture of this...
sure.
This thing.
Andy.
Yes.
So the word atom...
Atom.
A-T-O-M. Essentially means... It means... And I think that they knew this, right? The word means... A is not,
mm-hmm.
right? And tom is means means cuttable.
Yeah,
right?
Divisible.
It's non-divisible.
Mm.
Right?
Democritus, and I'm pretty Greek sure, philosopher.
And I'm pretty sure that they called it an atom after they knew that it was probably splittable.
No, that's not the case.
Isn't this
not
the case?
No, Democritus, as I said, the ancient Greek philosopher, came up with the concept of the atom, called it the atom for the name indivisible.
He would have said that there would have been something out there that would have been indivisible, but... And I think he probably gets credit for it.
Right.
But
he didn't know what he was talking about.
Well, I mean, he would have never conceived of how small an atom was or what it really was.
I think he would have probably looked at it, it would have been like you know, tiny, like half as big as your fingernail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that was about as small as they could imagine things back then.
Yeah. They were tearing up, you know, like they were breaking... You know, they were essentially talking about grains of sand, and they were like, "All right, I can probably split this another 3-4 times."
And then they'd take a grain of rice,
yeah.
And then they'd use a knife and they'd split that in half, and they'd be like, oh, "It's hard to get the knife in to do it again."
Mm.
That's probably about it, and that's what he meant.
Yeah,
Democritus.
Democritus, where I feel like his name has really lived on through democracy.
Mm. Yeah. Other works.
Was he involved in?
I think
in,
he may have been involved in democracy.
Yeah. He's a pre-Socratic, isn't he? Yeah?
Gotta be. Surely.
I mean, I don't want to group all these people who came before Socrates as just, you know, pre-Socratics.
But I mean, they were.
I mean, they never admitted that to themselves.
Not at the time.
Not at the time.
I woke up in the morning, I was feeling pretty pre-Socratic, I gotta tell you.
I mean, every man is born pre-Socratic in a way, in terms of you are before the ideas of Socrates.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I mean, in a way, Alistair.
You were probably about to say something way better.
No, I was just going to say that what you're suggesting is really that we, now that we know that the atom is actually divisible.
Yeah.
Right? Quite divisible.
Probably need to change the name.
We've got to change the name. Maybe right? Like, so now we've got to call them like... go for your life, split them heapsables.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I think we can keep the Tom. Divisible is still a word that we can use. Mm. I mean, we could probably just call them Tom.
We could call them Tom. Or A-Atom. Artem.
Artem?
A-Atom. Atom.
So double A.
A-Atom.
Or we just, you can just call
or just them
Tom.
Thomas.
Or Sumtum.
Yep.
Sumtum.
Yep.
You know, we know they're divisible in some way.
Mm. If you really spend a bit of time at it, then Tom. If you've got the right tools, and you know what you're doing, yeah. Tom.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Now going back down, and I may have asked you this before. Wait, is there a sketch in this idea?
I don't know, Alistair, but I'm excited. And I'm enjoying the conversation because I like science.
Could it be a campaign? Trying to fix? I mean, it just seems incorrect.
Can I just briefly stop you to say I, on a regular basis, think about our sketch about the Nobel Prize for participation, and I think it's so funny. I'm really into it.
Yeah, great.
You know, it's just a Nobel Prize for every scientist who did. Some science.
Thanks for having
over
a go.
The last year.
Yeah. Essentially, if you got a science degree and then you managed to get a job, then you get a Nobel Prize.
But then I also think that there could be some honorary Nobel Prizes for, like, you know how like kids get a bravery medal when they do something like call the police because their mum is stuck in the fridge.
Yeah. Right? Not again. Yeah,
You don't have to do much, and so I think like kids could be getting some kind of honorary Nobel Prize for doing some extremely entry level bit of science. Anyway, that was just remembering happier times.
Sure, of course, not times like this where we're stuck trying to find a name for the atom,
for the A-atom,
for the A-atom.
What were you saying?
The campaign could be we need to change the name. It's actually quite embarrassing.
Mm.
We're worried if aliens find out what we're still calling the atom.
It does. It does look. Yeah.
But not just, you know, not just aliens. I guess any new person that is born and grows up to find out about the origins of the word atom, and then they kind of go, "Ugh, society, you've allowed this to continue." You know, it's not enough all it takes for evil to prevail is for good men and women to do nothing.
And what it is it's just incorrect. It's just the wrong way to refer to it.
That's
now,
right.
We know better now, you know, and like so many campaigns that have changed the way that we talk about people in society.
Yeah.
We learn more about our fellow man. Now we know more about our fellow
particles.
Our fellow particles.
And, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the continuation of using this word by the scientific community and the general populace is in some way the reason why Greece has been having so much trouble in the last 10, 15 years. Because we don't respect them anymore. Because it's these old words that... seem to suggest that maybe you guys don't know what you're talking about, and so we're not going to hire you for, you know, whatever it is that they want to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the language has to evolve if we're going to start treating them with the respect.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they're gonna, like, if they were getting, they'd be able to pay off their debts if they were getting more work.
Mm. Oh, you think we could get them to come up with a new name?
I think we need to wipe the grease off of it, off of this, you know, this particle.
Yeah. Okay.
But I mean, they can come up with a good English word if they want. I can't see that causing any problems. People using a second language to.
No, I think. Look, we'll say, come on, Greece. You did it first. It's only fair that you get another go at it.
Yeah.
But this time, try and come up with a good English word. A nice English word, please.
Yeah.
That we can use in English. Not like atom.
Yeah. Because, I mean, then we kind of just have to. I mean, did we come up? We didn't really come up with our own word for it. And I think maybe that's our own failing.
Yeah, okay.
We took on their mistakes.
Yes.
You know? And that was through laziness that we wound up
but
in
this scenario.
But also
politeness, which is a very English thing.
That's true. I mean, and England couldn't have known when they started taking words from Greece that they were going to have so much success in the world.
The Greeks? The English?
No, the English.
Yeah.
I mean, they wouldn't have known when the word Adam kind of came about that they were at some point going to own the world. And then spread their language everywhere.
And there's going to be a lot of attention on them.
A lot of attention, yeah.
In a way, England is a lot like a kind of like a YouTube superstar.
Yeah.
Right? Who gets a lot of, has a lot of success, unexpected success, and thus invites a lot of scrutiny.
Yeah.
Okay? No one, when people were looking at the Angles, you know, or the Celts, would have thought, these people are going to go on to dominate the globe navally and culturally.
That's right.
For hundreds of years.
No.
You
couldn't really tell. Looking at it.
So they were going about their life not, you know, making mistakes.
Cutting corners.
Cutting corners, as we all do when we're young.
Yeah.
Right? And then
just absorbing languages, you know, words from other cultures. They're just like, oh yeah, we wanna come up with our own word for Adam. We'll just take the Greek one.
Yeah. Yeah. And now it's all come around to by them. They've got all this success and people are trawling through their back catalogue and being like, look at this, what do you got here? You know, you've said this, you've done this. Come on, they didn't know, all right, how big it was going to be. It's like Zuckerberg with Facebook sending a few messages calling the people who sign up for his service fuckheads or idiots or whatever.
Was he doing that early on?
Yeah, he did that, you know, in the early days. Dipshit, dead shits, dumb shits, something like that. Anyway.
He'd call them up personally.
No, he was messaging his mates saying all these dumb shits signing up for Facebook.
It's great.
Look, Alistair, we certainly talked a lot.
I think changing the word Adam to something less embarrassing, and we got some of this story. It's a campaign.
Mm.
We're, you know, eventually we'll have to do the same thing with universe, right? We've once again, probably out of laziness, we've taken universe sounds a bit Greek.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We got to wipe these mistakes off of our historical asses.
Sorry. It's got a ring of like the Republic kind of a thing. Like Australia is ready to become a republic. You know, we want to show that we're a growing up nation. Similarly, English language needs to. But I think there's also an angle in this about if all these countries whose words English had absorbed said that they were no longer going to let us use those words
or there was
some sort of legal precedent. Like, it's quite interesting that the European Union was able to pursue Google for the privacy stuff and the right to be forgotten. And now Google has to allow people the right to have information about them removed from search results on the internet. I'm just surprised that Google is subject to that kind of jurisdiction, that you can implement those kinds of legal things on a company like that. So I don't see any reason why the European Union, especially with Brexit, you know.
Especially with Brexit.
Yeah. If Europe couldn't reclaim, you know, pass some kind of law that would mean that England and the English-speaking people were no longer able to use words that had been derived from
European languages. You can only call something an atom if it's a Greek product.
Yeah, if it comes from Greece.
If it has
atoms,
yeah. if those atoms were either forged or at some point
processed
yeah. in Greece. And then the English have to
we'll call them like sparkling white particles.
Yeah.
I don't know. No. Sparkling white matter.
Yeah. Sparkling white.
But the sparkling white, I mean, it sort of works as a prefix because you know where it comes from, but then it doesn't have any additional layers of meaning, which would make that a truly transcendent pun.
A truly transcendent satirical idea.
Play on words.
Yeah. You know, what I've noticed is that none of these empires that, that you know, rose and then fell ever really get big again, right?
Ooh. I mean, I think they sometimes do, but it's under a very different, because you know the Rome,
yeah,
right, there's Rome
kind of like fell for like 400 years or something, right?
But it also sort of became then the Holy Roman Empire and that sort of transformed into the Roman Catholic Church, you know, which had a different kind of existence.
So you're saying that kind of by making statements without knowing anything about the history, it's easy to kind of make a mistake.
Well, Alistair, but also, from my point of view, I've corrected you.
Yeah, that's true.
And I also don't know what I'm talking about.
That's great.
So I could look extra stupid.
Well, let's hope.
Because to then come in with authority, correcting someone, you're actually much worse.
That's why you'll always see me entering every statement with a degree of caution.
Yeah.
Unless it's
justifiable.
Unless it involves describing something disgusting about a body.
What about China? China's probably done that, hasn't it? Like, I feel like China was.
They weren't like a world empire.
Oh,
or anything,
sure. But how many world empires have there been, Alistair?
A fair few.
Name one. Name four.
Ottoman?
I mean,
the Byzantine?
Yeah, but these are just all regional.
England?
These aren't world. There's no Byzantine
Mongolians?
Civilization. You know, the Byzantines never made it to South America.
Well, they should have. They would have if they hadn't have fallen.
Yeah, okay.
You know, there probably wasn't a land bridge at the time or ice bridge or whatever. What's that bridge?
If only there.
Oh, what an experience that would be. You know, to rebuild the bridge, you know, so it's like an ice bridge, you know, that allowed people to move from like, you know, Russia, Mongolia area to like Alaska or whatever.
So is that the way they went?
I think it was like that was how the people, if, you know, a part of the out of Africa theory is that they kind of spread out into kind of like first that area between Europe and Africa or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they spread out and then slowly would have worked their way east. And then over that, you know, during some cold time, walked across. And that's the people that later on went all the way down and became, you know, Aztecs and Mayans and things like that.
I mean, the thing is, they didn't have any perspective on it. They would have, you know, for individuals at that time, it would have been, we're just going a couple miles over here where there's better fishing.
Yeah.
You know, but if only one of them had been like, had taken a moment,
you
know, to really stand back and say, look how far we've come.
No, absolutely.
You know?
I mean, the thing is that I think none of it, it wasn't done by just like one group of people. It probably happened over hundreds and hundreds of years.
Maybe. Well, exactly. But that's why you need to have an oral history or some sort of a written record. So you can, as a people, just occasionally still think back to how far we've come.
And but sometimes it probably would have just happened just because somebody was like maybe trying to get out of a bad conversation and they were like, I'm just going to go over here for a bit. And suddenly they've trod new ground.
Just kind of a...
Trod new ground that no man has ever set foot on before.
You're right. Some of, at least some of the history of of human exploration has been done out of awkwardness.
Mm.
And we need to pay tribute to those explorers.
Yeah.
And they, as well, because they really were going where no man had gone before, were much more explorers than, say, Captain Cook, who just went where people already were.
Yeah, that seems like less of an achievement.
Mm. When we put it like that.
But we're going where we've never been before.
Indeed. Do we have some words from a listener?
Andrew, we do. Today's words come from listener Chris Parlow.
Oh, Chris Parlow.
Yeah. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Chris,
I got a good feeling.
Chris is both a friend of the show and a friend of the people who do the show.
He is.
Hello to you, Christopher.
Hello, Chris, and thanks for listening to the podcast.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. He told me I could use his last name because he said he wasn't ashamed of listening. But as we've probably said before, we are happy even to have listeners who are ashamed of listening.
Oh, it still counts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shame downloads. iTunes doesn't know the difference.
Absolutely. And if anything...
Imagine if you sign into an incognito tab to play.
To play to in the think tank. Yeah. And like, you know, I'm not going to say I even prefer listeners who overcome shame to still continue listening.
That's true.
You know, but I'm just saying that that definitely is deserving of a medal.
I think iTunes, now that we're on this, iTunes should have incognito tabs that you can open up
download.
When you listen to embarrassing.
Yeah.
In fact, that'd be a good one for like an April Fool's. You know how companies always do some April Fool's shit?
Yeah.
I think if iTunes could introduce, they announce on April 1st incognito tabs for iTunes for when you're listening to.
There you go.
Embarrassing songs that you know, your guilty pleasures.
Guilties. Maybe Spotify could do it too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which you can also listen to us on Spotify.
Yeah.
His three
can
words.
Can you write that down as a sketch, you reckon?
What's that? Oh.
Like incognito tabs for music things.
Sure, wait. I mean, I feel like we could go for something even much more strange.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's probably not going to pull it off as for the... nothing's going to hit that April Fool's...
Oh, yeah.
Vibe better than this.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And that's what I'm looking for.
What about
stuff it's like, that makes you go, oh, huh?
Panasonic has released a sort of a hood that goes over the TV and then straps to the back of your head on where you're sort of sitting on the couch so you can watch TV shows incognito. It's got headphones in it and everything like that. So you can watch your big screen TV, still sitting on your couch, but the other people in the room can't see what you're watching.
Won't know what you're watching.
Yeah. It's an incognito hood. It's not a good idea.
No, that's funny.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's funny, Al. somebody could release, right, an incognito hood that sort of straps over your waist and your genitals, right, and covers your upper body and up to your eyes, right, so you can do stuff to your genitals and no one will know what you're doing.
Do you think there'll be a time when we'll just have incognito everything and we'll all just look like a shadow sort of fuzz walking around? We'll be looking through our eyes, which will have built-in augmented reality, and we'll all have blur on it and everything like that. The government will know who we all are, but we won't know who we are to each other.
Yeah.
So that we can avoid any kind of like gender or racial or any kind of – everybody will just look maybe like an orb. That's probably what orbs – you know, like orbs from the future are.
Yeah, orbs from the future. Yeah.
Like we think that there are some higher species. They're just – this is just the only way that they could get past prejudice.
Yes.
So that, you know, because, I mean, if you're choosing a regular, you know, body that kind of just looks blurred, you're still being kind of like ableist by saying, oh, well, this is an able-bodied person, so I'll treat them.
Absolutely. You know?
So, but if we all look like an orb.
Yeah, and there's no, like, a circle is a circle is a circle. There's no body shaming possible.
No, that's right. Mm. And so you're an orb, and you go to work, you kind of do things. Nobody can really see you, but you're just kind of orbing. But then you can talk to other orbs. You're probably just typing at a computer or whatever.
But, does your orb have little hands or what is
it? Well, no, they can't see it. It's all just looks like you just if when somebody looks at you, they just see an orb.
Yeah.
But what
okay,
you're just typing.
It's all augmented.
You can see out. Yeah. You can see out and you don't even really see the orb, but you know all you see around you is orbs. Right? It's so that we can take that blind auditioning from orchestras where you just, you know, you do it behind a curtain, which I guess that's another option. But, I mean, we've already had a sketch where
everyone's behind a curtain.
Everybody's behind a curtain at all times. I don't want to tread this same ground.
No, this is different. This is an orb.
This is a futuristic orb.
This is augmented reality.
Augmented. And it's just to get rid of prejudice. I think because it's just too much work for people to not be prejudiced. It's easier if everyone just looks like an orb.
You won't have a choice.
You
can try and be prejudiced. Mm. In fact, we challenge you. Go on.
Yeah.
Do your best.
Try, yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
There's nothing to judge.
Everybody will have the same voice.
Yep. Yep.
And
true equality.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Great. I mean, I don't
three
know.
Words from... Oh, you can write that down
I'm
as well, or augmented reality if you want. But we have three words from
Chris
friend
Paolo.
Of us slash show.
Okay. Three words are psychological, pelican, and fungus.
Psychological, pelican, fungus.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good selection of words. They're all a little bit highbrow.
They're all P words.
Fungus?
I was like
I checked the first two.
I was like he'll be tricked because the first one starts with an S sound. He probably won't get it. He'll be like, wait a second.
He's gonna look like a real idiot when he challenges me on this one.
So the three P words.
You really set me up there, Alistair. Nah, good on you. Good on
you. It's rare that you capture pure stupidity, you know, in its natural state.
A moment of pure stupidity. Oh. And that, I mean, that is like, you know, when they've got that footage of that that lizard escaping from all those snakes. You know, this is like that.
Oh yeah,
but.
Yeah.
With the stupidity.
Yeah. The
escaping from your mouth.
Well, I mean, that's kind of one idea where it's like there are so many checks and balances along the way in your brain to stop you from doing stupid things.
Mm.
And the stupidity really was
the lizard that escaped.
Escaping all the like the psychological
the
hands
connections
grasping for no, don't let this one out. That's way too dumb. Like that. I mean, that's a kind of it's a beautiful image too. You know, like when in The Simpsons they would zoom into Homer's brain and it would show some idea of the process in there. I think that would be a nice bit of imagery.
Zoom in. There's a lizard escaping.
Is that like a sketch imagery?
Stupid idea. I'm interested in a verbal analysis of what had to go wrong to allow this to happen. Much like they do with air crash investigation or something like that, you know, where they like why were these two planes on the runway at the same time or the Titanic, you know, all the things along the way.
I'd blame also the where I wrote it. And if people look at the image that we're going to put on Twitter with the thing, fungus up there definitely looks like it's got a good big rounded hood that kind of, you know, and it almost joins the U there.
Yeah.
You know, at a glance.
But again,
it
Alistair,
could look like a P.
This is your handwriting.
Yeah.
And you know the word fungus doesn't start with a P, whether or not it's written.
Doesn't matter, Andy. At the time, if you're not focusing and you don't remember that it's fungus.
Yeah.
All right. All right. I blame some kind of psychological pelican fungus that is actually what caused that slip of the brain.
I mean, that...
What do we know about pelicans?
Well, I know that I've seen that video of...
The pelican eating the pigeon. The pigeon.
And that has had an ongoing psychological effect on me.
Yeah.
One that
has been growing?
One that has been growing in the dark.
Yeah.
And is one day I worry going to blossom into a bloom that protrudes into the visible world, and that will be the moment when I just eat a pigeon. You know, I'm just there in a street next to a pigeon, and I just grab the pigeon and I shove it down my throat.
Do you think there's a chance? I mean, I guess it's never off the books.
My emotions about I think there's a chance. I absolutely think there's a chance, and I think that's what scares me.
You know what this makes me think of, right? So recently, there's I think Nick Capper has been on this show a while ago.
Yeah.
Him and Mike Goldstein do a podcast right now. I think maybe called Phone Hacks.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they go through each other's phones and they look at personal stuff and they make fun of each other. And then they text people in the family and things in their families and stuff like that.
They don't text each other? Oh, that'd be fun. That'd be nice.
Really nice. Anyway, they posted about a funny thing that Mike did to Capper's phone, which was where they texted his uncle Guy Capper. And they said, "Hey, Uncle Guy, how you doing? Anyway, I just woke up from a crazy dream where you and I 69'd. Anyway, hope you're well. Say hi to Auntie for me, right?"
Oh, it's, God.
It's so awkward. But anyway, what absolutely made me laugh was the uncle's, was the uncle's response. Which was, "Crikey, I hope that doesn't come true." You know, anyway, hope you're well, blah, blah, blah. But, like, just this, like, almost like he believes that dreams do sometimes come true.
Yeah.
And that there's nothing that we can do to stop that. And so let's just hope that that is not one of those. Because I think just the keeping in his response that there's a possibility of that happening.
Yeah, I mean...
They wouldn't do everything that is absolutely possible to stop it.
It's like the lizard and the snakes. Again, you know, that event where you 69 with your Uncle Guy is... I mean, and now we're just talking about jokes from someone else's podcast. Well, they probably riffed on it.
I'm linking it back.
No, absolutely, Alistair.
I'm linking it back.
Linking it back, full credit.
Full credit, Linkin Park.
Yeah.
I'm in the Linkin ballpark right now.
Very much.
Yeah.
To that great podcast, Phone Hacks.
Phone Hacks, but also it's a great integrated ad that is unpaid for and uncalled for.
Yeah.
Anyway, so where I was taking this is that this is what's now happened to you with eating pigeons. You don't even eat meat.
No.
I mean, this video was horrendous PR for pelicans.
Yeah.
I mean, pelicans, always seemed like just a goofy doofus of an animal. You know, a freak of nature that have survived by not off the back of their own superiority.
No.
But just
through the universe's sense of humor, and that it likes it likes a laugh occasionally.
Yeah. But now we know that they just will eat a live pigeon.
And I think the thing is, I don't even know who to feel bad for in that scenario. Because sure, it sucks for the pigeon.
Absolutely.
But I mean, can you imagine having a pigeon in your mouth? Like a street pigeon as well.
Street pigeon. First, you're just getting it through the mouth, and into the mouth.
There is fungus on that pigeon. There's all sorts on that pigeon.
Absolutely, right? But then you got it in your big floppy bill.
Yeah.
All right. In that pouch, right? In the kangaroo pouch that you have as a mouth.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're like, what do I do now?
Right. But then you have to swallow that live pigeon. Right?
Fuck.
Now, I don't know if you're waiting for it to cease to struggle while still in your beak.
I don't know that you can afford that, because a pigeon is not like a lot of other stuff that you eat. A pigeon's got all sorts of pointy bits on it.
Mm-hmm. They got a beak.
Yeah.
They got those talons.
Yeah.
They probably have a few just broken shards of glass that they've picked up along the way.
They're a fucking pigeon.
They're a pigeon. They're covered in disease,
yeah.
And they're scratching you.
And, like, you're eating something that has an asshole. Like,
mm-hmm.
And it's stressed. It's shitting in your mouth.
It's shitting in your mouth. It's maybe vomiting out of terror.
Yeah.
And you may have broken up different parts of it. Maybe its gut is spilling into your mouth.
So is this a sketch?
It's a sketch about this pelican.
Yeah.
And his life post eating.
Oh, wow.
Post eating that pigeon.
I think that's really interesting. I think, and maybe
I just went for it.
Yeah. Okay. Is he trying to own it? Is it like a road back for that pigeon, that pelican? Is it like, what's the kind of redemption?
He's like, it's just a, you know, it's like a one-on-one interview. All you're just seeing.
Ellen?
I think it's like, it's more kind of like in a slightly darkened room sitting alone, you know, on a chair.
Sure.
You don't see the interviewer.
Because Ellen does have a lot of people who get famous on YouTube. On her show, that's all I'm saying.
That's true. So does Tosh.0, but
Tosh
I don't think we're gonna have. Okay, we're gonna put it in that setting.
All right. That'd be quite interesting. Set a sketch on another comedy show.
That's great. That's a fun idea.
Get the pelican on, but then, would you get him to do it again? Isn't that what Tosh.0 does very often?
Yeah,
recreates.
He would get them to eat another live bird. Or
yeah.
Do you want to try and do this so that it's not so fucked up? Like, I guess, what was he trying to do?
Like, I guess if it had been cooked, it'd be fine.
Do you think it was just
I feel like that pelican was on meth.
Yeah, or maybe it was like, it was lashing out because of like, because there's people around. So there's people probably feeding some of the birds.
Yeah.
I don't know, but was he pissed off that he wasn't getting enough bread? Or, you know, what if the pigeon was eating all the bread? And then he's like, well, fuck this. I'm eating the pigeon. It's filled with bread.
And when we cook birds,
mm-hmm.
what do? Stuff them full of breadcrumbs.
That's right. So
it's like really all it is the sashimi of the baked pigeon world.
That's right.
And I think there's a sketch in a pigeon and a pelican sort of trying to justify what happened.
Yeah.
Right? And like maybe the pigeon does some commentary on the video. Trying to
the
explain
pigeon
it.
Does.
The pelican.
Okay, right.
Sorry, it's hard for me. I get those.
Do you think we could also talk to the pigeon's family?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know, maybe.
I mean, that pigeon putting itself in that scenario makes me feel like the pigeon probably was a bit of a loose unit anyway.
So you think that a pigeon should have been aware that pelicans ate pigeons? Because I don't know if that had ever happened before. And I think we all learned a lesson that day. The pigeon, the most brutal lesson of all.
Yeah.
But then was it a useful lesson for any of us? Because is that a thing that is ever going to happen again?
I think I would certainly be careful, like if I had a small dog around a
pelican. Yeah. Whereas before that, it would have just been like,
go over there and play with the pelicans.
Pet the pelican.
Go romp with the pelicans.
You're my pet, and the pelican is your pet.
Yeah. Go treat it badly and get in its personal space.
Anyway, somewhere in there,
the
pelican has also developed some kind of mental condition, psychological condition from...
Sure, sure. And the pigeon's covered in fungus.
Yeah, or the pelican now is he's just got a fungus on his shoulder.
Mm.
Maybe he's like, you know, obviously psychologically he was affected by eating that. You know, no one was more affected by eating that pigeon than me.
Yeah, and in a way I've already been punished.
Mm, that's right.
You know.
Yeah.
There's no more greater punishment that society can deliver to me.
If anything,
having to shit out a pigeon.
Yeah. Shit it out as well. You think it was still alive when it came out?
Out the cloaca, the official orifice of the Two in the Think Tank podcast.
A pelican egg. I've never thought about what a pelican egg would look like. Or even like a brand new pelican. Fresh
ugly.
From the egg. They would put, I mean, furless.
Yeah.
They would have no fur on them whatsoever.
Fur.
I was just going to... Oh, yeah. Anyway, I can't remember. So
it's all right, eh?
Andy, that is all our sketches for
That's
today.
That's all our sketches.
Thank
and that
you,
was
Christopher Paolo, for those.
Good episode. Some real strong start. Had a great time at the start. Got a bit bogged down.
While we're promoting things,
yes.
Chris Paolo was involved in writing the film The Brother's Nest.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I've heard really good things.
Yeah. And
that's
so
awesome.
And so that's an independent film that is out now in Australia. Please go watch that. It's got...
Shane Jacobson.
Shaken Jacobson and his...
Shake him Jacobson.
Shaken
Bake?
Yeah. Shaken Jake Jacobson.
And Clayton, right?
Yeah.
Is his brother Clayton?
Yeah.
Clayton Jacobson.
Yeah, he's both starring and directing.
Yeah.
Directing it. I think he's done directing it.
Yeah.
It's out.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Go and see
Probably
that.
Done starring in it as well, to be honest.
Maybe.
Yeah. Really good Australian crime heist thriller.
How often do you get to say those words?
Film.
Really great Australian film.
Not very often. Not since Crocodile Dundee 3.
That's right. Lost in L.A.?
Lost in L.A.
Yeah, great. All right, here's the sketches for today. Kids, how'd you like to get paid to go water sliding?
This right? is the guy who's the one-man band with the water slide suit.
Yeah, with the water
slide. He's there at Career's Day.
He's there at Career's Day. He's talking about how you can always be water sliding and you could be making money.
Because what do people love about water sliding? The wet back and the disorientation.
And that it never ends. We got dog meat delivered door-to-door by a dog. It's in a dog that's in a suit. It's wearing a dog suit that's a little bit bigger than a dog, but it still looks like a dog. And in order to get the meat out of the dog, it's a usual meat delivery system, right? So it's like Uber Eats, but for butchers.
It's a dog eat dog doggy door to door.
Yeah. And yeah, either way, even if it isn't dog meat that they're delivering, which it sometimes can be, depending on what country you're in. It's always dog meat.
It's always dog meat. That's our slogan. Yeah. our slogan is, it's a dog invites you to eat dog world out there.
Your dog. Anyway, sporkling.
Sporkling.
Obviously, that's the underwater goggles for the mouth.
Yep.
So
you can...
That allow you
dine
to
in the brine.
Dine.
I'm just going to do a lot of rhyming.
That's
sort
great,
of stuff.
Andy. Dining in the brine is absolutely the slogan for this. Dine in the brine. But you know, but we do allow you to do this in fresh water as well.
Sure.
As well as sort of pools. There could be pools for it.
Yeah.
And puddles. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that if you live in a really dry country, you should be excluded from a brine dining experience.
Sure. It's even better.
Here's a half sketch. Trying to make billions of embezzled dollars
relatable
to the commoner jury.
Yeah.
And it's a real tricky stuff for this lawyer.
I mean, I think it's funny, like, in terms of, like,
plan it down.
Let's make that let's put that into terms you'd understand. $17 billion. That's 4.5 billion cans of beer. Or
yeah. Or in Australia would only be 6 cans of beer per person.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. Changing the word Adam to something less embarrassing.
Great.
You know?
Or it's had its time. It's wrong. We just know it's wrong.
It's probably got something to do with the England leaving
the EU,
but it also can just be fixing the mistakes of history.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows England has got to face up to some of these historical errors that they've made.
And all they are, all the historical errors that England has made, I want to be clear, relate to choice of language.
And the vocabulary.
Those are the only ones.
Well, if you won't give back the something of the Pantheon or whatever,
the
at least,
Elgin marbles.
At least stop using an incorrect Greek word for quite an important building block of matter.
Quite.
Then we got incognito tags for either music, for like a kind of like a, you know, either Spotify or iTunes. Mm. You know, this could be an April Fool's vibe type thing. Or, you know, you could have like incognito hoods for sort of your Panasonic TV, or, you know, you could, it could come with your mobile phone.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fully incognito if people can still look at what you're doing from a, from, you know, just over your shoulder.
Incognito tabs for talking to people.
Yeah. Sort of like they had in like, what's that movie, with that TV show with 99?
Get Smart. Yeah.
And that's what you should do.
Mm.
Then we got the orb-mented reality. I don't think we need to go that any further.
Everyone's replaced with an orb, so there's no prejudice.
Yeah. And we got the pelican reliving and justifying why it ate that pigeon. And,
and if you haven't seen that video, don't, because it'll haunt you.
It will haunt you. But if you do want to see it, despite our ideas, our warnings, just type in pigeon and pelican into YouTube, and I imagine it'll be the first 10
results.
It'll
be in the first 100.
And,
it'll come up.
Get ready for a new memory for life.
Yep. All of that. Alistair, you wanted to mention something.
Oh, I did a show at the venue Spleen recently in Melbourne here. And although I did not see it, somebody alerted me that a member of the audience of that show had a sign that said, international fan of Two in the Think Tank. And I want to say thank you, firstly, for coming all the way to Australia. I mean, I would say that to any person who is either visiting Australia or immigrating to Australia. Thank you for coming.
Yeah. You're contributing to our economy.
Yeah. And you're contributing to your own wealth of life.
Yes. And you thank you for doing that.
And thank you for doing that. That
thank you for
me
doing
happy.
Something for you.
Taking care of yourself. But also for, you know, publicly putting yourself in a situation where you're holding a fandom sign of some sort that is unbelievably generous. And I'm sorry that I didn't see it and point you out. It probably would have been a worse experience for you if I had have done that.
You could have gone and found them and said hi after the show or something, Alistair.
You could have
made some effort of some kind.
I was told as I was walking out the door, but I'm glad that I'm cornered here. I want you to, but in many ways, I'm doing some effort now.
You are. That's lovely. Thank you so much to whoever that person is.
Yeah.
And
if you want to contact us and take a photo of yourself with the sign and then send it to us, we can post it on our socials.
Yeah, great. And if you, I haven't been doing any gigs recently, but if you want to come and find me at the park or something. Yeah. With your sign,
if you have a son or a daughter or something like that, that makes your appearance at a park even more relevant.
And if you don't have one, just find one.
Just bring a kid,
or
bring one of Andy's kids that maybe he's lost. That'll be a great surprise.
Wow! Yeah. Oh, what a great surprise!
What a great surprise! My lost child. Just don't be the reason he's lost it.
That's right.
You know,
so. I mean. You tend to think that somebody is less suspicious if they're at the park with a kid.
Mm.
But how do you know that's their kid?
That's right.
There you go.
Very suspicious.
Now this is going to ruin everything for you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast.
Thank you, George, for doing the editing. I don't thank you enough.
You're
lovely.
Thank you to everybody who's contributed to our Patreon.
Oh, my goodness.
Pumping out 2 episodes extra a month
of
other stuff. Slightly different, you know, one where we come up with just 5 ideas for something that you guys have suggested.
Yep. Great suggestions coming in, so keep sending those to us. And we've also got the 2 in the sitcom tank where we are workshopping a sitcom idea.
Yeah.
So you can check that out if you are an $8 level Patreon supporter.
Yeah, and you know, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at AlistairTB.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
We're at Two and Tank.
Thank you to Harry's for supporting this episode, harrys.com/thinktank. Thank you to Planets Broadcasting.
And thank you, all of you, for supporting the podcast, because we
love
you.
Very much.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.